Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, December 11th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Lots of activity in the market today, and, we were able to get $5 out of the price of gold, currently at $107.7. Silver, a little more pressure on silver today, down 0.18 at 14.02. Had a low of 13.68, but she managed to get back over 14. Platinum was down 13 at 844. Big spread between platinum and gold. Palladium was up a buck at $545. USDX today down 0.35 at 97.56. Crude oil took a beating again. Last Friday, crude oil was over 40. Today, we're 35.53, down 1.23. How low will she go? And we'll find out here probably in the next couple of weeks. But paper markets today didn't like what was going on, and we had pretty much just shook off the retail sales numbers, and it didn't have any impact in the market today, but if you really look at them, they weren't all that hot, considering we're, you know, heading into the holiday season for the November. So not that good, but the Dow was down almost 2 points, 177%, down 310 points, 17,264. The NASDAQ, 111 points. Big day to the downside for the NASDAQ, down almost 2.25%. 49.33. The S&P was down 40 of 2012. 10-year yield also fell. 2.14% is the yield, down 0.10. And the euro took advantage of the stronger dollar, up 0.40 at 1.10. Both London, Germany got whacked overnight, all down. London was down 2.25. Germany was down 2.5. Hong Kong was down about 1.11%. Japan is still eking out their 1% gain. So we'll have to wait and see until their market eventually reverses also. But with the drop in oil prices, that's having a major impact on a lot of these bonds, funds and bonds. There's going to be a lot of defaults. The S&P Ratings Service recently warned that a stunning 50% of energy junk bonds are distressed, meaning, hey, they're at risk of defaulting. There's $180 billion of debt that is distressed. It's the highest level since the end of the Great Recession, and much of it, of course, is in the energy companies. The wave of energy defaults that's just there in the wings, it's not going to be a pleasant 2016. There's 72% of metals mining companies that are distressed. 72% of the bonds in the metals mining and steel industry are now distressed. So again, we see the recent plummets to these crisis levels for copper, iron ore, aluminum, platinum. And it's so bad that a key Bloomberg index of commodity prices is now sitting at its lowest level since 1999. So corporate defaults, they're already on the rise. The S&P said defaults recently topped 100 on the year, and that's the first time that's happened since 2009. Almost one-third of 2015's defaults have come from the oil, gas, or energy companies. So that's not so surprising, but the fact that we've topped the 100 on the year, that certainly is. So then you have to think of what this ripple effect is coming from these defaults, and how is that going to be priced into the market. And Al, I think we saw one, I'm not sure if I can bring it up here quickly or not, but there was a fund. Third Avenue closed, shutting the gate on redemptions. Third Avenue is a bond. It's a credit fund. And yet last night, they made the announcement that they are freezing the fund and they're barring investors' withdrawals as it seeks an orderly liquidation.
Meaning they're bankrupt.
Meaning they're bankrupt. And they're looking for an orderly liquidation. So they are keeping people away from their money for a whole year, hoping that they can liquidate orderly or have an orderly liquidation. So
what they're saying is if things, if they don't handle this in a particular way, people will panic. They'll try to get their money out of the funds. The price of the funds will drop like a stone. All right, and the ruin, and they will be, and their argument, I am going to assume, is that they would be even more deeply indebted and hopelessly bankrupt than they already are. They're saying if we have an orderly sell-off of assets, we'll get the most money for them. But even that strikes me as an interesting argument. I mean, if people know you're bankrupt, who wants to buy your products or your alleged assets? I'm sure some people will, but with bonds, I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, and you're certainly, this is it was a fairly large junk bond fund, and they're not allowing the shareholders to withdraw any money from the fund just yet. And from what I read, I don't have it in front of me. It kind of got buried in all my other items, but they're holding funds for a year. Hopefully that they can get more. And, you know, you put all these bonds on the market and there's no bottom to cap them. So it can go from where it's at to zero very quickly. I don't think it was, I think it was close to a $1 billion fund. So we're looking at some pretty high numbers. But you're going to see a lot of these funds close and go bankrupt.
You're going to see a lot of investors.
Absolutely.
Put their money in these funds, find out that you can't get it out. This is interesting to me. It's pretty strange. I don't know the details because I haven't seen the article or the rest of it. But still, the idea that they're refusing to let people withdraw right now. You know, you have to wonder. They're going to sit back and say, if we don't let people get out right now, we can sustain this for a lot longer. We'll have an orderly withdrawal. We'll sell the stuff off without having a panic and a collapse of prices of the assets that they hold. Well, yeah, but you really have to wonder. I mean, what if they'd done the same thing with Enron? Your account, you won't be able to get your money out for another year. Well, by the time you could get your money out, it wasn't worth anything. You have to wonder if it's unfortunate that people are inclined to panic. Like, give me my money, give me my money, give me my money. But on the other hand, it's not necessarily irrational that they might panic. Because if they can't give you your money now, what makes anyone think they'll be able to give it to you a year from now?
I used to trade in options. I said, told this story before, until somebody told me, they says, you know, we could be making a ton of money, but there won't be any liquidity. You'll have a lot of money sitting there in your account, and you won't have access to it. It'll be frozen. Mm-hmm. And then you could take years of litigation with attorneys and everything to try and get it back, but yet you're sitting there with tons of money, so how wealthy are you? I mean, what do you really have? What did you really gain? I didn't play options after that, because it's true. I mean, you can have all kinds of money in the markets, think you're doing really well. You could be taking on those dividends and everything and had some high risk. And when you have markets, when we really don't have the fundamentals underneath the market to support the level that it is, a lot of it is all done on margins, and there's no money there, and they won't have the money to pay you. And so this is what's going to happen. So it doesn't matter what's on that paper. It's what you have in your...
It doesn't matter. What we're, you know, fundamental lesson out of this program, we get to it repeatedly, is that if your wealth is being stored in a paper medium, you really don't have that wealth secured. All you have is a promise to pay. Not a payment, a promise to pay by whoever signed the piece of paper that you are saying, ha-ha, I've got a bond worth $100,000 because it's signed with so-and-so's signature on it. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. You only have a promise to pay. You have an IOU. You do not have a payment. Gold and silver or something else that's tangible is a payment. Paper is a promise to pay every time. We live at a time when most of the promises can't be kept.
And what I had wanted to say was, you know, a lot of these financial planners, in order to keep their numbers high, really went into these higher risk funds because they were looking for a bigger return for their clients. And this is what happens. You have Franklin Templeton. Their funds fell about 6% this afternoon. Franklin High Income Fund, 9.12% negative return this year, is worse than 98% of its peers. Well, you know what? I wonder how much longer they're going to be able to go on. And that's a $5 billion fund. So, again, people have been warned all these years about these junk bonds, the bond market, that was the bubble that was there. And again, don't forget the ripple effect. You can sit there and say, well, you know what, I don't have any junk bonds. Well, you know what? What is the ripple effect? Everyone gets affected, whether you are holding junk bonds or not.
Yeah, ripple effect, domino effect, we're talking more or less the same thing. And once any part of these financial markets begin to collapse, you know, there's just almost certainly there's going to be a certain amount of contagion. There are going to be a certain amount of friendly fire where people that you would think are your allies or whatever get shot or shoot at you, not intending to, but they wind up doing it, effective, figuratively speaking. The web is so complex that you can only wonder which one of the little strings on this. Wonder what will happen if I pull this string right here. What if I cut this string on the web? Will that cause anything? Or, you know, will the system still hold together? Or is this the one that just says, uh-oh, the whole thing's going to unwind? It's in the face of this massive complexity, there is more certainty and therefore more security if you get into something simpler. Huh? like how much gold do you have in a coffee can buried in the backyard? Or up in the attic or wherever it is you've got it. It's simple. There's, you know, it won't be, it doesn't mean you'll live happily ever after, but you avoid a lot of problems that seem, that are at least possible and seem to be growing more probable, you know, as we get deeper into December, and, you know, we'll see what happens next quarter and so on. But it really does, again, I don't know what's really going to happen and I can't predict, but it does feel like it's getting more volatile, unpredictable, desperate. And in the midst of that feeling, if it's right, if other people are sharing that feeling and they kind of see, feel it also, and they, well, that is conducive to a serious reset, a serious readjustment. And
You can see. I mean, everything. I mean, from the elections to the markets to the immigrations. I read earlier today where Canada, they're welcoming, you know, the Syrian refugees. Our home is your home. That's what government is saying. But I don't know how the Canadians feel about it. But the government is saying, hey, and they met them at welcoming them like they were. I don't understand, but, you know, but my point was you have all of these things going on, and none of it is good. There aren't any good things that are happening.
It's not just that there aren't any good things, there aren't any rational
things
that are happening.
Exactly.
I mean, you watch this thing unfold, and it gets crazier by the minute. I mean, things like negative interest rates, they're talking about doing that. Now, whether they get to it or not, I don't know, but they're talking about this. Well, we could try negative interest rates. Are you crazy? And that's the problem with us. That's the problem with me and Melody and with the people in the audience. The government says, well, we think we're going to have to impose negative interest rates.
Well,
and people say, well, okay, if you say so.
Well,
somebody needs to stand up and say, are you people out of your effing minds?
Even with the low rates that we've had for so long, I mean, some of them have been going at negative rates. So they've sort of accomplished that to some degree without actually making it proper.
Yeah.
One of the good news is, I'm going to talk about 1 ounce silver eagles. The U.S. Mint for the month of November sold 4.8 million 1 ounce silver eagles. That is followed by August, that was 4.9. For 1 ounce silver eagles, but the biggest month for this year so far seems to be in January, which was 5.53, which was really a close tie. January and July was a close tie. So far, without not including December, is 45.7 million silver eagle 1 ounce coin. So another record for the year for silver. So somebody is out there interested in silver. Someone's out there interested in buying silver. And we're going to run a special for Silver Eagles till the end of the month, until the 2015s run out, because the 2016s will be coming up. They stopped minting the 2015s, but there's still an inventory of them. So we're going to keep selling them until we run out at $299 over spot. $299 over spot. You're paying, and this is if you buy one or 100 or 1,000. This price is usually reserved for those that buy 500 or more. So everybody's getting the special $2.99 over spot. I saw advertisements for 2016 for the year of 1 ounce silver eagles, and it's like, why pay that high premium when they won't be delivered until January 22nd of 2016. So don't pay the extra premium for 2016, not until the 2015s run out. Because January 22nd, you'll be able to buy Silver Eagles without that high premium. So don't prepay that high premium. It's silly. And so stick with the 2015s until they run out at $299 over spot. 1-800-375-4188. I think we're heading to breakout.
I think we are too. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, we wanted to continue to talk a little bit more about the American Silver Eagles and the record that they've hit, not just this year, but we had 2014, two record-breaking years. And
Consecutive record-breaking years. This year, they sold more Silver Eagles than they sold last year, and last year set the record for previous Silver Eagle sales, and now this year did even better, and therefore the price of silver is what? $14 an ounce? I mean, does this make any sense to anybody? Does this make any sort of sense, or is this irrational? To me, it seems irrational, and it seems like, and when I look at irrationality, and I see it, you know, we talked about this earlier in the program. We're living in a world where irrational things are simply accepted as if, well, okay, if you say so, you know, it must be true. And somewhere along the line, in my opinion, you've got to look at it and say, look, when we're getting an overabundance of the irrational, that means something is wrong and something is going to break. When we say irrational, it's, in some regards, it's just another way for saying lies. Somebody's lying about the price of silver. This does not make sense that we're selling all these silver eagles. The demand for silver is up, and yet the price is down. It does not compute in a rational world where we have a free, unmanipulated market. It tells me prices are being artificially suppressed. I am inclined to believe that these prices can't be suppressed forever. There has to be a point in time, in my opinion, where we finally face up to and say, gee, the people in power, they say, well, golly, we can't continue to suppress the prices of gold and silver. And as this irrationality becomes more blatant and commonplace, to me, that just indicates we're closer to the moment where somebody's going to have to start telling the truth. Somebody besides Donald Trump. It's not to say that he tells the truth all the time, but he tells it sometimes. And he's left everybody in his wake, pretty much. The guy's trying to tell the truth. And the rest of the politicians are dumbfounded. What's that guy talking about? He's trying to tell the truth. Doesn't he understand we can only talk about that which is politically correct? Well, you know, this is just evidence to me. You look at it, you see what's happening to the price of silver, you see what's happening to the demand for silver. Demand is up, price is down. What sense does that make? You know, that it's just, it's one of those things that tells me that it's time to hunker down, you know, and get ready for some sort of a problem. Yeah, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but all you can do with these things is you look at these leaves in the breeze, and we use that analogy on a regular basis. You look at them, and maybe they prove something, and maybe they're just helpful indicators. You know, but you still have to look at them, and you have to consider, what do they mean? What does this imply? And what should I do? We can't give you an absolute answer and say, this is what you must do. All right? But we can tell you that circumstances are strange enough, or would it be a good idea to do something? Right? Do something. Don't sit here complacently and suppose that whatever wealth you have squirreled away in the form of paper debt instruments are going to hold their value indefinitely. They may hold their value for who knows. It might be another year or 2 years, and it might be another few weeks. Nobody knows. There are certainly enough problems where all of a sudden something could break. And you know, like that ping pong ball in a room full of rat traps. Bang, 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 bang. All of a sudden you got rat traps flying all over the place. One ping pong ball bouncing up and getting fired away by the rat trap when the spring releases. Are we going to see that chain reaction, you know, in the next 90 days? I don't know. But we could. And I look at these things and I'm just saying, this is getting crazier and crazier. Got an article here from Zero Hedge. Texas police chief warns Obama of approaching revolution, urges citizens to arm themselves. This is a Texas police chief. Do you understand? This guy's supposed to be politically correct, but he's not. Randy Kennedy, the chief of the Hughes Springs Police Department, that's in Texas, is the latest in a string of police chiefs across the nation urging citizens to arm themselves following the recent mass shootings in Colorado Springs and San Bernardino. In this, there's a video that's available. You won't be able to see it, of course. In the video, Kennedy warns that President Obama is trying to take away America's guns and will thereby cause a revolution, adding that the Second Amendment is there to protect us against a government that has overreached its powers, explaining you are not our potentate, speaking to Obama. You are our servant. Right? This is a Texas police chief. As the AP reports, Kennedy said his call to arms was a result of his disappointment with Obama's Oval Office speech on Sunday, in which the president vowed that the U.S. will overcome a new phase of the terror threat that seeks to poison the minds of people here and around the world. Now, by poison the minds, I believe Obama's talking about create a negative impression of Muslims. Well, I'm wondering, you know, poison their minds? Poison their minds with what, Mr. Obama? poison their minds with politically correct lies that lead to national destruction, or poison their minds with truth that leads to liberty and national prosperity? The police chief told the Associated Press on Wednesday that he's not asking residents to turn into vigilantes or become super action heroes. He's warned people in his town to prepare themselves. He said, quote, "Be ready when the wolf comes to the door because it's on its way." He apparently thinks, this is the police chief, he apparently thinks that the federal government is going to try to disarm the American people. I think he's overreacting myself, but nevertheless, it's interesting that a police chief would post that, and he may be absolutely correct. He may know far more about this than I do, and if he thinks there's trouble coming, his opinion is probably worth more than mine, because he theoretically has access to inside knowledge that's not available to me. What gets this, though, the video itself, which you can't see, but part of the text, he's explaining why he wants the people to have more guns and ammo. He says, "I don't want you people running out of ammo." He's talking to the citizens. He says, "I don't want you people running out of ammo, and I don't want you people running out of guns." And the reason is, in case the public has to help rescue the police in the event that there's some sort of a mass shooting going on in their community. He says, "I want to be backed up by citizens who are armed, who are carrying concealed weapons, and they have plenty of ammunition." So here we have a police officer, and this is what's really interesting to me about this. Over most of my lifetime, back in the 50s and 60s, the police routinely used the motto, "We serve and protect," and everyone understood it to mean that they served and protect the public. But increasingly, the police have been driven into a situation where they serve and protect, all right, but they serve and protect the government. And this isn't a small change. This is a big change, a dramatic change. They're not here for you and me anymore. They're here to protect and serve the government. Round up taxes, collect money, and whatever. All right? That's the way. Here's a police officer who says, "No, we need to align with you people. The feds are going to get us all killed," is what police officer didn't say that. Police chief didn't say that, but he implied the possibility. But he doesn't trust the feds. He wants to get right with the public. And I think, hey, sounds good to me. I would like to have a police department that I actually believed was here to serve and protect the public rather than serve and protect the government. Because if they're serving and protecting the government, it puts the government in a position to oppress the public. If the police serve and protect the public, it helps to keep government at bay. And that's one of the things this police officer, this police chief is talking about. One of his points he makes is that the purpose of the Second Amendment is to protect us from oppression by the federal government. And he's right. That's exactly right. And he thinks it's coming. So in any case, this is another one of those stories about interesting times. Things are getting strange. Police chiefs, and he's not the first one to do this. This has happened in a number of other states. But police chiefs are beginning to tell the citizens, arm yourselves. We can't protect you. In the video that this article is about, the police chief, he says, look, we can't protect everybody. That's just the reality of it. If you want protection, you're going to have to provide your own. All right? And he's not trying to duck out. He's just saying that there are only so many police officers, and if we're going to see more events where terrorists are trying to shoot the place up, it's going to be incumbent on us to shoot the terrorists. It won't necessarily work out well if we sit there and wait until the cops arrive. All right? If you want to get these guys, it's like the story in San Bernardino. Muslim man and wife shot or wounded nearly 40 people, killed or wounded nearly 40 people. Why did those people die? People like President Obama are saying they died because these two terrorists had guns. And the solution to the problem is get rid of the guns. Now, I'm saying, no, those people, those 40 people who were killed or wounded, they weren't shot because the other guys had guns. They were shot because they didn't have guns. That's what got them killed. California is one of the strongest gun control states in this country. They have least access to guns. The restrictions make access to firearms most onerous and difficult for law-abiding people to, you know, not impossible. You can get a gun if you absolutely have to, so far as I know, but they don't make it easy. And most people think the trouble is not worth the benefit. But the situation in San Bernardino, it's going to make people change their minds. It's going to make them, there's a bunch of people in California who have been liberal in this regard. Well, we need to get rid of all the guns. Well, yeah. When you don't have any guns, the only person you can be sure of who doesn't have any guns is you. That's not a good situation.
What's kind of ironic is here you have California, with one of the, which is one of the strictest gun control states in the country, but it also houses Hollywood. And the violence that comes out of the movies and so forth, hey, the good guys always wins by weapons. So, you know, it's...
Well, then there may be truth to it. But how many of them win without weapons? Right? I mean, there's the question. Where's the story about people, I overcame my enemies, and because I sat down and preached to them. Mm-hmm. A lot of stories like that in history. I mean, it's a kind of an idyllic, it's an idyllic situation where we can see some fictional stories about that. But the truth of the matter is, push comes to shove, you need a gun. And if you don't have one, the other guy does, you're in big trouble. You may not survive. And if you're dealing with some terrorists,
And I think the one thing that we do have to change, again, is our politics. I think we need to, you know, people need to get involved. People need to, you know, again, we say we start locally. We need to start changing things. We need to kick these guys out of office. And perhaps we are seeing a new movement. I mean, look at France. You have the Marine Le Pen. I mean, she's really taking, you know, the country. You know, there's another election on Sunday.
And is she right-wing?
Yes, she's conservative, and mm-hmm. she basically said she would make Hollande's life miserable. And she said she would make government miserable. And we're beginning to see the shift in getting the people out that will, you know, go back to the roots of their country. And,
Not just the roots of their country, but common sense.
Common sense. And she's tried, and they just pushed her down. But, she's coming back strong. And it follows in the path of what happened in Paris. When they have gun control.
Yep.
But yet they could go. You could go to any suburb of Paris, and if you're brave enough to go into those no-go zones, and you have money, you can get any weapon that you want. But yet the citizens of Paris cannot protect themselves.
Yeah.
And so again, that is a prime example. And it's not to say that you're not going to have any deaths, but at least you can, perhaps
we can cut down. Win. That's exactly right. We can wonder if the two terrorists in San Bernardino, would they even have made the attack if they thought half a dozen or 10 of the people that they were going after were packing concealed weapons? It's because they weren't armed. It's at least in part because those people weren't armed that the terrorists were encouraged to make their attack.
Well, I'm not so sure those types of terrorists, I don't think they would really... I don't know, because then, they're ready to die anyway.
Well, that's a reasonable question.
I mean, they're ready to die.
Shoot people, can't shoot back than it is to shoot at somebody who's armed.
I mean, they're ready to die anyway. You know, perhaps they would have just went about it in a different manner or whatever. I don't know, but, I think Well, we're at a break, Al.
Yep, we're at a break. So we're going to take a couple more commercials, and Melody and I, or we will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. I've got two stories I'd like to talk about in the last segment of this program. I'm not absolutely certain we're going to have time to get to both of them. The first one is Trump takes nation by storm. More Americans agree with Muslim ban than reject it. And the second one is war cycles, peace cycles. That's essentially the headline. Trump takes nation by storm. More Americans agree with Muslim ban than reject it. And in case you were confused, how it is that Donald Trump's polling numbers could increase following his Muslim ban comments, which have been widely denigrated by any and all talking heads from the White House on down. Here is the surely not us answer. As The Hill reports, The Hill is a political publication in Washington. A new post-Trump survey by Rasmussen finds that 46% of likely voters would favor a policy preventing Muslim immigrants from entering this country until tighter screening procedures can be implemented, while only 40% would oppose such measure. So the majority, and there's 40% opposed, 46 in favor. It turns out 14% are undecided. In direct opposition to what the White House said, and they said that Trump's proposal is totally contrary to our values as Americans. It is apparent from this study, from this survey, that the Obama administration does not know its constituents as well as it may have thought. So Trump is having almost astonishing success by bringing up subjects that are politically taboo, and he's telling the truth about them, And people are just, oh my gosh, it's like you can catch your breath. You know? Somebody's trying to tell the truth. I'm not here to just say Donald Trump is, I'm not saying anything about his ethics or his morals or anything else, but he is opening up the political dialogue in this country, the political subject matter in this country, where people can say the truth. And it's astonishing. It's like it's breathtaking, practically. It's just amazing. And average politicians, we've said it before, they don't know what to do with it. They're so used to lying. They say, truth? Truth? How do we tell the truth? Does anyone know? Can someone tell me how to tell the truth? I can tell what the people want to hear. I can feed them, I can give them smoke and mirrors and pablum and whatever else and tell them what they want to hear, but truth, I don't know if I can handle that. That's the way most politicians appear to be. Trump is forcing them to take a stand. And when President Obama says that Trump's proposal is totally contrary to our values as Americans, President Obama is demonstrating that he's either a moron, an ignoramus, or he is such a staunch pro-Muslim advocate that he doesn't care what anybody says. He's going to do what's best for the Muslim population rather than the people who live in this country and have been here for a couple hundred years. Why? Why do I say that? Again, we've talked about it a little bit before in the past. But a fundamental principle of Christendom, which is another word for the Western world, and the reason is Pat Riley brought that out in one of his books, and I thought it was a brilliant analogy, a brilliant observation. When he says that Christendom, Europe, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, right? These countries, they have generated great prosperity, they have generated great power, great wealth, and they did it because they were based on the Christian faith. Now, one of the fundamental principles of the Christian faith is seen in one of the descriptions in the Bible, where the Messiah comes to the door, he knocks on the door of your house. Yeah, essentially asking if he can come in. It's up to you to open the door. You can open the door and let the Messiah come in which case you may be saved. On the other hand, if you say, buzz off, I don't need me, the Messiah goes on his way, and you may have a problem with your salvation. But the important point is that you get to choose to practice or not practice your religion, and more importantly, you get to choose which religion, if any, you're going to practice. Christianity, true Christianity, I know it's been tried, Catholic Church have tried coercion and the rest of that, but true Christianity is not we're not subjected to Christianity by coercion. No one is seriously threatening and say, well, you're going to be a Christian or we're going to cut off your head. It can't be. The God of the Bible, the God of the Christian faith, sits back and says, the choice is yours. You get to choose. You are free to choose. But the responsibility will also be yours for whichever choice you make. You have the right to choose, and if you make the right choice, you may be saved, and if you make the wrong choice, you may be damned. But you get to choose. That principle is fundamental to Christendom. It's fundamental to the Western world. Now, when President Obama says that Trump's proposal to keep the Muslims out of this country is totally contrary to our values as Americans, he's mistaken. Our values as Americans, as members of the Western world, as people of the United States of America, we hang on to this idea that you get to choose, I get to choose. Each of us, we get to choose. The Muslim faith is opposed to that choice. Given sufficient strength and numbers, they will not allow you to choose. So, I'd like to be a Christian. I'd like to be a Baptist or a First Congregationalist or a Methodist. You got two choices, death and Muslim faith. And if you don't choose the Muslim faith, they will chop your head off. And I've talked about this. I think I've talked about it in the past, but it's worth repeating, that if you've watched Muslim demonstrations or you've seen pictures of Muslim demonstrations, you'll see some crazy Muslim carrying a sign around that says, "To hell with freedom." And you look at it and you think, "Boy, that guy's crazy. He must be some camel jockey, you know, that he was out herding goats in the deserts in Syria or someplace, and they just brought him over, and he doesn't understand what's going on in the world when he says, 'To hell with freedom.'" But in fact, that's how the Muslims think. They do not recognize your freedom to choose a faith other than the Muslim faith. So, from my perspective, there is a great and insurmountable contradiction between the Muslim faith and the theocracies that they impose on the nations that where they are predominant, and the fundamental values of Americans in the United States of America and as part of Christendom, the Western world. We believe in that freedom of choice. The Muslims say, "To hell with freedom, you're not going to have any freedom." I'm saying there is no possibility that the Muslims are going to assimilate. Not devout Muslims, not true Muslims. They're not going to assimilate into this country. They don't believe in freedom. They hate freedom. It sounds stupid to Americans. I mean, we've heard about freedom, freedom, land of the free. Yeah. It's inconceivable that anyone would not want to be free. The Muslims don't. Man, what we're seeing and what we're going to see in the future is a resurrection of the Crusades, where we are going to see holy war between the Muslims and the Christians. We already have it between the Muslims and the Jews. We're going to see holy war between the Muslims and the Christians. And there are people that have observed already and said, this is just an extension of the Crusades. And I'd say, yeah, they're right. But the Crusades, why did the Crusades happen? They happened because Christians tried to go down and take control of Jerusalem, right, from the Muslims. And more particularly, Christians tried to mix with the Muslims. And they wound up with an implacable foe. They wound up with a holy war where no atrocity was too great. And it stems from this idea that the Muslims say, "To hell with freedom." Well, the Christians, freedom is the freedom of choice, is central to the Christian philosophy, the Christian faith, Christendom, the Western world. And there's no way you're not going to get these, we're not going to have a compromise. I doubt that there's ever going to be a situation of real mutual tolerance. There's going to be war, and the only way you stop it is you draw a line, and on one side we keep the Christians, on the other side we keep the Muslims. If you want to maintain your values as Americans, you're going to have to recognize that these Muslims are coming here with a philosophy that is so contrary to yours and mine that they cannot mix. Oh, they can sit back and we can tolerate for a while, but when push comes to shove, there will be violence because there is no real respect for the choice, for any choice of religion other than the choice to be a Muslim. No. Trump has tapped into this reality, although most people don't understand it and they don't really see it. The president is still saying Trump is totally, his position is totally contrary to our values as Americans. I'm saying, no, it's not totally contrary. In fact, Trump's position is a way to try to support those values as Americans and keep us in a situation where we can hang on to them without having to worry about whether the next time a couple of Muslims decide they need to shoot up another community. So, hooray for Mr. Trump. You know, Donald. Hooray for what he's doing. He's done something we haven't seen in the election in a long period of time. He's injecting, you know, truth into the election and into the contest. And this guy, again, I think it's bewildering for most politicians. But he has succeeded in injecting truth into the debates in a way where Trump, an unelected private citizen, is having more success at setting the political agenda in this country right now than Barack Obama. Barack Obama says, let's talk about climate control. And Mr. Trump says, that's not our problem right now. Let's talk about Muslims. And the people are saying, yeah, yeah, that's what we want. We want to talk about Muslims. I mean, it's really an astonishing phenomena to see what Trump has done, and we can only wonder what he will do in the future. I don't know how this is going to work out. We'll watch out. We'll watch and see. For the moment, I think Trump is, you know, he's got to be the odds-on favorite to win both the Republican nomination and the presidency at the moment. Doesn't mean that he's guaranteed to do so. He's just got a better chance than anyone else at this moment, I'd say. But we don't know how it's going to turn out. Of course, we're going to follow it as the weeks and months go by. And, you know, we may change opinions on things one way or another, but the idea that opposing the entry of Muslims into this country is contrary to values as Americans is as false and absurd as arguing that we are refusing to let child molesters or serial killers enter into this country because it's contrary to our values as Americans. That's just dumb. You know, one of our values as Americans would be common sense. Why let people in that you know sooner or later are going to be, their entry will be conducive to violence in this country? Why do it? Why not just get a little common sense and say, well, look, this is stupid. Let's not do something stupid. Particularly when you can see, you know, their faith, the values, fundamental value of their faith, no choice, to hell with freedom, fundamental value of our faith, freedom, plenty of choice. You know, I mean, you don't get to choose everything. There are things that God says, thou shalt not kill, for example. You don't get freedom of choice on that, but you get freedom of choice on your religion and freedom of choice on most things, and the Muslims want a government theocracy to run the country according to their Quran and with no room for you making decisions. It's just, it is anti-American. It's wrong. It shouldn't be tolerated, and hopefully it will be stopped. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Never seems to be a single penny left for me.